from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's reboot and reset. 888-957-9570. How does today make you feel as a 49er fan? Brandon Ayuk is done. The contract is in. 4-year extension that now effectively turns into 5 more contractual years with the 49ers. The 4-year extension is worth, in theory, $120 million. AAV at 30. Guarantee at 76, guarantee at signing 47 that will be paid off between now and April 1st. So put all that together. And if you want to know where it slots, it is literally just change below Amon-Ra St. Brown. That is the deal. And then the other note that people have found interesting is that both Diana Russini and Adam Schefter report that this was the offer on the table for Brandon on August 10th, and nothing moved. The Niners told him it was their last offer, and he did not take it until today. And so do with that what you will. 888-957-9570. How does today's news as a Niner fan make you feel? And what I have said is, for this year, this is wonderful. It's wonderful. For beyond that, TBD. Little nerve-wracking, if you ask me. And then the last thing I'll say is, I'm very, very just kind of stuck on the process that both sides use here. And both were very, very ineffective. The Niners misread the situation at the draft. They waited too long, but then once they got to their final offer, Brandon apparently didn't believe it was their final offer and effectively missed camp for no reason. So there is some collateral damage here. I know everyone wants to celebrate, and that is true, and it's great and it's fair, but there is some collateral damage here, if you ask me. I got something else. Check this out. And Grandy, react to this. I don't know if you saw this. You see this other one from Diana Russini?
Read it to me.
Okay. She just tweeted this. The 49ers were only willing to trade Brandon Ayuk if they could get a top flight wide receiver to replace him. They offered a 3rd-round pick to the Denver Broncos for Cortland Sutton. And if that had happened, they then would have dealt Ayuk to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the Broncos turned that offer down, so he stays in San Francisco.
So the mysterious third team to make a deal work was the Denver Broncos.
In theory. Denver Broncos and Cortland Sutton. I know everyone wanted it to be the Raiders and Devontae Adams, but it was the Broncos and Cortland Sutton. 3rd-round pick probably would have been returned plus another pick in the trade with the Steelers. So in theory, at least the way I read it, is it would have been something like, would trade Brandon Ayuk for Cortland Sutton and a 2nd-round pick.
It's better than nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Not a bad receiver. Not a great, not as good as Brandon. But in a situation where maybe a player doesn't want to play for you anymore, you get him what he wants, and you get at least something back in return. It would be better, in my opinion, than say, just straight up with the Steelers, a 2nd-round and a 3rd-round pick for Ayuk, and that's it.
I agree with that.
No doubt.
I agree with
even
that.
Even if it's only 1 year of Cortland Sutton.
Oh,
Because I know how you feel about the Super Bowl or bust mantra, and I'm not saying Super Bowl or bust. I'm just saying you cannot waste this opportunity that you have this year. You can't waste it.
But isn't...
And while even if you didn't have Ayuk and you got nothing back for him for this season, you still have a chance to win it.
Yep.
You don't have as good of a chance, but you don't want to just be so, I don't know, nonchalant about your chances this season that you kind of waste what's probably your best remaining chance to try to win this freaking Super Bowl.
I guess that's what's sort of interesting to me right now when you look at the way this whole thing played out. If so many of you are focused on Super Bowl or bust, if so many of you are focused on you've got to maximize this year, how can you not actually come out today and at least have a piece of you? I understand those of you who want to party, it's over, and Brandon's going to stay. But how can a piece of you not be upset at the process that just unfolded, which clearly, in my mind, jeopardizes this year? Even though we're here today, it is not good that Brandon missed camp. It's not good that Trent has missed camp. So if those things are not good, and Trent less so, but if those things are not good, and if those in theory even take a tiny shot at this year, then I got to question what got us here. It's great that he signed. That's better than not. But it's August 29th. I think it's fair to question both Brandon, his agent, and the Niners.
I agree.
In 100. Terms of how we got here today.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. But we were also staring down the barrel of a shotgun where Ayuk either gets traded, you get nothing back in return for him, or he holds out and who knows how many games he misses.
Well, I never bought that.
I haven't gotten past the excitement of knowing that Brandon Ayuk is going to play for the 49ers this season. That's where I am right now. Maybe tomorrow, maybe in a week, maybe when the season starts and maybe he struggles to begin, maybe I'll have that feeling, but I haven't gotten over just the excitement of finally having this saga behind us and knowing that Brandon Ayuk alongside Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and hopefully Trent Williams and Brock Purdy, you're going to have all of your weapons, again, TBD on Trent Williams, all of your weapons available for you for what should be in basically the entire season once again.
Yeah, Trent will be in. I honestly do not worry about that. I think you can read the tea leaves there. This one was a little bit harder. 888-957-9570. Is that kind of where you sit right now? Like, has this just erased all of the concern? What we've been hearing for the last 3 weeks is the vibes are bad. Well, does this just, like, is everything recovered now? Now the vibes are good? Is everybody, does this reboot the excitement for the season that we've been sitting here hearing from so many people that they were having a hard time accessing? For those of you who have had a hard time accessing your excitement about the season, does this fix it? I'm over here in the camp where I was still excited for the season. I wasn't having a hard time accessing that. The experience not good, but I can put that over here. I still thought the 49ers were going to be a good team, whether they had Brandon or not, and I was still very excited for the season. Hell, I'm having a hard time having any night not have a fantasy draft involved in it, and that's a ton of fun. We did ours last night. It was tremendous fun watching Steiny and Goo make picks.
Steiny picked three quarterbacks.
I did. Look to both of them. I'm sure they're listening. I love you, and your picks may well work out. Your picks may well work out, but you do have to raise your hand and be like, that was out of the box. Like Joe Burrow being the first quarterback off the board, that's out of the box. I'm not saying it's wrong. He's a phenomenal player, but that was outside of the box.
No doubt.
No. There's no other draft in America where Joe Burrow is the first quarterback off the board. That's out of the box. So, but no, I wasn't having a hard time being excited about this season.
I wasn't like dreading the season by any stretch, but there was a part of me that was thinking like, we failed to get the Super Bowl last year. We've now experienced three Super Bowl losses in what, a 12-11 year span?
Yeah. I mean, forget the Ravens one. Yeah. That's not fair. That's a totally different era and regime.
But just as a Niner fan, you're dealing with all of those emotions still. And now we're going into this season the final year before you got to sign a contract that's going to pay your quarterback $55, maybe $60 million a year. Who knows? And I know it doesn't kick in for another couple of seasons, but you're entering a season where you have a fantastic chance and one of your star receivers, one of your more important offensive players, isn't with the team at all. And your offensive lineman, your best offensive lineman in football, is not with the team at all. There was a part of me that was dreading this season getting off to a terrible start because of that, and this at the very least, maybe it's not, is it the ideal scenario? No, of course not, but at least this is a major step in the right direction of beginning this season the way it should be. The vibes should be feeling good. It shouldn't be this.
Well, and they are right now.
A little bit better. Yeah.
You know what's funny, Grady? And we're going to go back to the phones here in a sec. 888-957-9570. You know what's funny? And this is totally me just like putting a finger in the air, but I can feel it out there with all of the 49er fans. This news makes all of you think that Trent is going to, like, done in the next 48 to 72 hours.
Well, it's kind of the way that the Niners have talked about it. I brought it up before this Ayuk deal happened. They said a month ago, goal number one, figure out Ayuk, and we'll worry about Trent then. So it kind of made it seem as if the way they talked about it, we're not worried about the Trent thing, but we want to get Ayuk figured out first because that's the one that's challenging us
right
now.
Agreed, and I haven't been worried about the Trent thing the whole time, but for anybody who was worried about the Trent thing and all the commentary we've received with regard to can't win without Trent, then now we get to today, and everyone's like, this is a great day. It's like, well, I still don't have Trent, and he's imperative. Like, he's an absolute must. But I'm with you, not just that this may be the precursor to that. I've never thought that the 49ers were going to risk playing a football game this year without Trent Williams. I've never thought that. I don't think that now either. 888-957-9570. Let's get back out to all of you again. Brandon Ayuk, four-year extension, $120 million. The nightmare is over, and Ayuk will play for the 49ers, not just this year. In theory, it feels like he probably will play on Monday night, September 9th. Remember, Tim Kawakami came on the show earlier today. We're like, what's the deadline for Brandon playing week one? And he's like, it's kind of like now. And then 43 minutes later.
Maybe the Niners and Ayuk were listening. You never know.
That's right. Brandon's like, uh-oh, Tim said I should sign.
I really want to play on Monday night football.
Well, he should. Like, Monday night football is still a thing to these players. That's still a national, like, coming out party for the team.
We saw it on receiver, the doc. They were all talking about whenever the Niners played any of the teams. Totally. It was the Vikings played the Niners Monday Night Football, and you had Kittle, Debo, and Justin Jefferson, all who were featured in that doc, talking about how important Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night football games are.
Yep, absolutely. Maurice in Rancho Cordova. Hey, Maurice, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
No problem, Willard. You know, you do have a little bit of a homer when it comes to the organization, but I do want to go over. It kills me, man. I don't know how I get because, it at the same time, but
Maurice, let me answer it, and we won't hang up on you. Like, some of that comes from just like anything else. It's a difference in the way some of us look at life. Like, I get it if you're a fan that's like, these damn Niners have not won the Super Bowl, like, and let's hold them accountable for that. I'm someone who looks at their process and goes, oh my God, in 6 years, they turned this thing from gravel into a perennial contender, and I will forever be grateful. They've done a phenomenal job. It doesn't mean, just like how you love your family member, but you know that they've got some warts, right? And they annoy you sometimes, but you love the hell out of them because that's your thing. That's how I look at the Niners. They've done a great job if you look at the whole picture. That's all, Maurice.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, you know, and I'm only 32 years old, so I've been alive for a Super Bowl, but I've never actually seen one. So you're a lot older. You've probably seen some Super Bowls. You know how that feels.
I was here for the '80s. Yes,
we're at the door where we're like, we're ready to see one. Let's get these guys paid. But I do got a question about these reports, though. Now you said the Steelers report, Rossini just reported that the Niners weren't willing to trade Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers unless they got a top flight receiver. you've been on the organization side saying that Ayuk doesn't want to be traded to anybody. How do we know that he didn't already accept a contract with the Steelers, but it was the Niners since August the 10th that did not want to pull the trigger?
Well,
I mean,
Maurice, I guess the only way I can really answer that is by saying, when you say, how do we know? We don't. I know who I trust in terms of reports and conversations that are happening out there. I certainly believe Diana Russini when she says that the Niners were only willing to trade Brandon if they got a top flight receiver in return. And Pittsburgh was never offering that. But I do think that we can deduce, number one, that Brandon did want to stay a 49er first and foremost. Those were even his words. And I've talked to people close to him who also say option number one has always been to stay with the 49ers. And then forget the words, look at the actions. Like, would he have agreed to go to Pittsburgh? Maybe. Was that his absolute first choice? I'd argue we do know that the answer to that is no, because there have been reports that the Niners and Steelers finally did come to some sort of an understanding about trade compensation, and it still didn't happen. And the Niners put an offer on the table in early August, and today Brandon took it. So, I don't know. You know, did he flirt with other teams? Sure. Heart of hearts, where did he want to be? I've never wavered that that's here. And I think we do know that based on the way that this played out. Let's go to 49er David in Concord. Hi, David. What's good?
Well, you know what's good? I called in on Tuesday, and today I'm calling back to gloat. I asked you for a prediction when they would sign, and I gave you mine. I said B.A. would sign on Thursday and Trent on Friday. Do you remember the call?
I do remember the call, and you're one for one. And if you nail it tomorrow, I will be so ticked at you if you don't call again.
The latest trend.
Oh, that's it. Wow.
He just walked it off.
That was a walk-off mic drop.
What will he do tomorrow if Trent signs?
I mean, we better call. Now I don't want to take the call, though, with the way he handled that. You know me, I'm a process guy, not a results guy. I don't like the way he handled that call at all. CJ in Richmond. Hi, CJ. What are you doing?
Nothing much, Mark. Just listening to your sage wisdom. I wanted to comment on something that's been said for quite a while over this long process about the 49ers being potentially cap constrained and how giving more money would exacerbate that, which I think that's a BS argument in general, because one, reports have said that he was offered $26 million by the Niners, and then eventually it's gone up to 30. So you're telling me that $4 million per year is gonna kind of is gonna bring down the Niner quote unquote dynasty? This doesn't make any sense to me.
No, CJ, I'll let you continue. I agree with you on that. I think it was whether they signed Brandon to an extension at all, not necessarily what the exact number was. That's the way I look at it. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, earlier in the year, they're talking about, okay, well, if we sign Brandon, then we have to let Debo go,
sure,
right?
Sure.
I don't believe that. Right. Because primarily for all these transactions, they're back end loaded, right? And I think you said it a couple minutes earlier that they can probably go along with keeping both of them for at least two more years.
Maybe.
But
Go ahead.
Well, based upon this transaction, what's been said is he's supposed to make $14 million this year, but that's going to be reduced by $8 million, so it's going to be $6 million, actually, and that's going to go into cap savings. Guess what? They can redo Debo's deal again. He's supposed to make 2023 next year. So, I mean, they do this stuff all the time, and I think that it's just a narrative that puts the onus on the player to capitulate when in actuality that's just not the case. Guess what? A Trent Williams deal is going to get done. And when information went out about that recently, they said, oh, well, that might have an effect on what's going to go on with keeping players for the next year or the year after that. And obviously it can't be something that there's just no limit to money. I understand that, but I think that they've done a great deal with managing the cap now. They know that the Brock Purdy is going to get money soon. These numbers have been put into a spreadsheet somewhere, and every time something happens, they update it, right? So if they're not going to do something that is not within what they want to have happen, and some people are going to leave, but we've been talking about that all year. We've been talking about Moody having to potentially go.
Right.
Dre. I mean, so this stuff has been talked about all this year.
Yeah, the NBA is different because that's a harder, not a totally hard, but a harder cap. CJ, thank you very much for the call. I largely agree with you, and I usually, mostly, largely trust the 49ers. And this is a very good regime. Are they perfect? Of course not. I hate that we always have to say that. They're human beings, so they're not. They've had misses. They have their own, whatever, human weakness aspects with the way they go about their dealings. And have they carried previous negotiations into this one? Do they wait too long? Are they too hardcore with their process? Maybe. You could accuse them of all of that. But the end result to this is so many more W's than L's for the 49er organization, not just in who they've drafted and who they've kept, but who they've signed and how they do it. I largely trust the 49ers. And I am the one who coined cap schmap because there are ways to maneuver around things and adjust and all of that. But let's also not act like there is never a cost and a collateral damage. You know, go back to DeForest Buckner. The 49ers looked at that and said, we can't do that because it will make us lose this player, and this player. Well, what did they just do today? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. And all I'm expressing is a little bit of worry, a little bit of worry about that. And I think that is fair because, you know, the 49ers have in front of microphones now said for months, you can't pay everybody. And even though cap schmap, there is some truth to that. You can't pay everyone. Well, they just paid another one. So who does that mean now goes out the door? And will it be next year? Now, if you are all in on this year, okay. Like, that's the way you think. That's not the way my brain thinks. I want my sports teams to be relevant every year. And I don't think in market six that that's too much to ask. Ask Joe Lacob. Should you require that your team at least puts everything it's got into every year? Yes. Yes. So, like, I'm not going to bite on this idea that it's only about this year and then we'll just worry about next year. So that's just the way I look at it. But there's no debating. Nobody would argue that the 49ers' chances of being an awesome team this year are better right now at 5:23 this afternoon than they were 2 hours ago. Nobody's arguing that. You know, from that perspective, I am very, very glad that Brandon Ayuk is on the team. We'll see about years after that. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you are just hopping in the car, if you worked until 5:20, and you're not one of these people that waste time at work by staring at social media all day, welcome to the party. Brandon Ayuk will remain a San Francisco 49er, but it's intricate. It's a four-year extension for $120 million. There are $76 million in guarantees, $47 in actual guarantees that will be due no later than April 1st. And multiple reports at a high level that the offer Brandon accepted was the same offer that was on the table on August 10th, and he took it today. Now, while we are going to continue to take your phone calls, and Grandy, hop in with anything that, you're reacting to, I do want to say one more thing that's off in the corner a little bit. Every single one of you that has called the 49ers cheap over the last few months, you got to take it back. Like, I do want everybody to take a moment. This has been one of the greatest ownership reputation changes I've ever seen in sports. What has basically happened with the York family over the last 5 to 8 years. Jed York has continued to fill up that escrow account at an unbelievable level. And so I'm getting pretty close to a point. I know that one has rings and the other one doesn't, but as far as like all you want out of your owner is to be all in on winning and entertaining and just being awesome, Joe Lacob's reputation on that front is unmatched, but it's getting close. I think 49er ownership deserves a similar type of vibe right now in terms of what they're willing to put into this.
Yeah, no doubt. Something that's been on my mind too, because before this Ayuk news happened, before he signed it, it's been what, almost 2 hours now?
Yep.
There was, I think, legitimate fear, maybe not fear, but legitimate argument, legitimate conversation that maybe the Niners are just going to pull every offer and just say, all right, Brandon, you know, we've tried our best to make things work. Are you at all surprised that they left the 4-year, $120 million offer on the table for these 3 weeks? Because it's been on the table, according to reports, since August 10th. Does it surprise you at all that it's still been on the table this long through everything that's gone on?
Do you want to know what surprises me about that is that they offered that much that early?
I'm with you.
That's what surprises me. No, it doesn't surprise me that they left it there, because the pulling of an offer, like, that means you don't want the play. That means you're done.
Kind of felt like we were getting close to that yesterday.
It sure did. And yes, that's high level negotiation. That's the push pull that you're going to do through the media. So I'm not surprised that they didn't pull all offers, but the fact that the Niners were already at 30 on August 10th.
That almost goes counter to everything we heard about this negotiation.
Well, and again, that's why I'm still a little bothered by Brandon Ayuk. Dude, you got your offer. Take it and get your helmet. So I'm glad he finally did, but I ain't changing my opinion that he should have done it 3 weeks ago. All right. Glad you're with us. Join 95.7 The Game personalities at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's local family-owned pest control company. Plenty more time for your calls all the way up until 6. Brandon Ayuk signs, he stays. How does today make you feel as a 49er fan 11 days before kickoff? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Well, I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me. Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, well, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know what stupid thought just went through my head?
No, what is it?
And 888-957-9570. We're going to take you all the way up to 6 o'clock and keep taking your phone calls. Brandon Ayuk signs an extension, 4 years, 120 mil. He's staying. This is getting so exhausting every August. From Debo to Bosa to Brandon, and we still haven't figured out Trent. How many minutes after the Brandon extension did it take you to go, next year we get to do our quarterback?
And who knows who else? Someone else will pop up, probably.
Holy hell.
Did you hear what Debo Samuel said earlier this week on NFL Network?
I did. Oh, you didn't, Lucas?
You want to hear it?
I do. I know what you're going to play. I think you should play it.
Tom Pelissero asking the question here on NFL Network.
You've seen all these other wide receiver contracts getting done. You saw what Justin Jefferson got. You saw what CeeDee Lamb got. You got 2 years left on this deal. You put up numbers this year. Is any part of you going, I'm gonna get a little bit of that next year?
Sit, man. Control the things I control, and if the season goes as well as it should, no, you will be right there knocking at the door.
Ooh.
I mean, enough already.
Well, listen. Hold
it's too
on.
Much. At no. What point is it too much?
Okay, wait. Let me back up for a second on that. If you don't like that, that to me is the classic old phrase, don't hate the player, hate the game. If you don't like that...
I love football. I don't know what you're talking
no,
about.
No, that's an NFL problem, dude. Oh. If you don't want players outplaying contracts or trying to take advantage of the market, if you don't like that, well, then the NFL needs to guarantee their deals, which they're never going to do. So again, that's why I always start out pro player, because dude, you've got to go, like, why if Debo goes for 1,200 yards and rushes for 300 and he's going into a non-guaranteed year, why would he not knock on the door?
I got a crazy idea.
What's a crazy idea?
Let's try and maybe figure this out April, May? Well, June, even July. Let's get a full training camp. Everybody in, ready for the season. Let's go.
That's where I think it's fair as the dust settles on this, and we're not done because Trent Williams is not just a large man, but a large piece of this. That's where I think fair questions can be asked going forward with regard to how the Niners go about doing this. Because, yeah, you don't want this every August. And I know Debo wasn't August, so we've really just done two Augusts in a row. But you don't want this to go to August every time. And I'm noticing something else. Like, think about some of the quotes we've just talked about on Twitter and think about them in a different light, okay? So Adam Schefter goes on Twitter and goes, it's not just announcing the extension, but he also then follows up with, oh, by the way, same offer that was on the table 3 weeks ago. Diana Russini, same offer that was on the table 3 weeks ago, literally goes, this was a colossal waste of everyone's time. Brandon's agent quote tweets it and goes, factually incorrect. Does anybody notice the contract is signed and they're still fighting? How do you think those reporters know that? They're playing a game of who won the deal on social media, which means they're still mad at one another, and they are still trying to present to the public their side. because the Niners don't want this to look like the Nick Bosa situation where they gave every dollar all the way up to the deadline. They want it to look like, no, we put our feet in cement and we stayed there. And Brandon's agent wants to be like, no, he didn't. We hold out and you caved. That's not great. I'm glad he's got a uniform, but that's not where we want this relationship. But that's where it stands.
Ryan Williams looking out for Brandon Ayuk when he goes his first week against the Jets. 3 targets, 1 catch for 15 yards. Everyone's going to be like, B.A., should have just signed the deal on August 10th. That's what he's trying to prevent.
Well, and look, that's what comes with big money. Big money is going to lead to, and Brandon will learn this, and there's no way around it. Like, it's okay. You get $47 million, you can take criticism. But, yeah, now you have to play like one of the top receivers in the game, or else people are not going to be happy about it. And people will look at Kyle Shanahan and go, you could pay $30 million to a receiver and not throw him the ball? Like, and then this happens with Brock next year. Oh, $55 million? You just want to hand the ball off? Like, this is where we're headed. This is where we kind of already are because of the name value of the roster. Unavoidable. Not the most fun part of being an NFL fan, but unavoidable.
But kind of what you were talking about earlier, like, these are all problems that the 49ers have, and I say problems in air quotes because they're good problems to have. You're not in this situation if you don't have players that are deserving of this kind of money. And, of course, correct, every NFL team would want to have players that are deserving of this kind of money. You could be the Carolina Panthers, who, I don't know if you know this, but this year they have the least cap space in the NFL.
Isn't that crazy?
They're $8 million past the cap, something like that this year. Part of that is just because they realize they're not going to be competitive this year, and they kind of shifted around all their money all to this year so they can open things up in the future.
Yep.
But you have maybe the worst roster in the NFL, and you have the least amount of cap space in the NFL. The Niners maybe have the best roster in the NFL, and they have, believe it or not, for this season, like the top three most cap space in the league for this season.
Now it goes away next year.
And that number actually even got even larger today. Now that Ayuk's cap hit goes down this season. But it's odd the way that it all works. So you'd obviously rather be the 49ers almost compared to any other team in the NFL, even if every single offseason, April through August, is a nightmare. It's a good problem to have, and it means you're probably going to be pretty good come the fall and the winter.
No doubt. But take note of this, and if you don't care, you don't care. But I it is interesting, because a lot of you are like, what a great day for the Niners. Well, the Niners aren't speaking publicly, so I'm sure by tomorrow, you know, whether it's John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan or whoever, like, B.A. is going to show up at practice and there will be this, like, it's so wonderful that B.A. is here. But normally in a situation where everyone would be like, hey, we did it. We're so excited. First thing they did, start calling reporters and going, we won the deal. That's what both sides did. So that speaks to what Kawakami told us earlier, that there's damage to the relationship that may not go away even with an extension. There was high-level feelings involved in this one, and we all saw it. You all saw it. You heard it. You heard it in their voices every time the last few weeks. So, you know, that's a part of this. That's a part of this. John in the city. Hey, John, thank you for calling. You're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
You know, I've been thinking a lot. I joined at the 5 o'clock hour, and really frustrated, really exhausted the past few days.
Yep.
Been emotional. Now I'm feeling real petty. Like, he signed on the dotted line. We knocked him down from $14 million to something less than that. Let's pump him the ball for the first 6 weeks and then trade him to New England or something for 2 seconds or a first. Just to really set the tone for next year that if we leave something on the table for 3 weeks, understand it's not going to get better. It may seem like it, but in the end, we will always win.
Yeah, but John,
every once in a while, I feel like Steph's the petty king. Kyle's got some of that in him, too.
No doubt, but John, and I know maybe this is just your feeling of the day, but I mean, again, if this is supposedly for so many fans all about winning the Super Bowl this year, then why would you do something like that? Why would you take your emotion and your anger into actual play calling and transactions? And so maybe you're saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but to me, the quicker we can get to, look, bygones, let's play football. That's what we need to do. There's absolutely no room in my mind for let's feed the ball to Brandon more. Let's feed the ball to Brandon less. Like, no, it stays the same. The quarterback drops back and he finds the open man. I don't care who it is. Make the offense go. I don't care who catches the ball. Unless one of them is on my fantasy team. And then I care.
Did you pick any Niners yesterday?
No. It's so hard to get Niners in this league because we're all a bunch of Niner fans.
You got to use that to your advantage.
Yeah, they all go too early. Was Kittle the first tight end taken? Second, maybe?
I don't remember. Yeah, he definitely was early.
It was early. Yeah. It was early. And Ayuk still went like the third round. I was like, damn.
Somebody... Steiny picked Jordan Mason like in the 12th round or something.
That's my dad asked me the same thing. He's like, you got any Niners? I'm like, you can't. I got Debo in the my little family league. But there ain't nothing on the line in that league. You win like $4 if you win this. But yeah, I like Debo this year a lot in fantasy. How about Nolan and Pinol? And I won't make my same joke for the second day in a row. But I know you called yesterday, Nolan. Thank you for calling again. Hi.
No, yeah. I was going to say, I know you guys feel like there's a little bit of like stuff going on between the 49ers organization and Ayuk, like who won the trade. But I think they might really be saying this to the other players. Like, we're the pros here. You know, we all got in the lab. We found out his true value. We gave him an offer, and we're always going to stand on that. There's not going to be any more back and forth in the offseason anymore with you guys. We'll come out with fair market offers from now on. You either take it or don't, but we're not going to like argue. We're going to let you sit out practice. We're going to let you do whatever you want because we know we gave you a fair offer, and like that's the end of it. No more like Bosa situations.
Well,
and that's really it.
Yeah, Nolan, I think the Niners are with what you're saying. Like, I think they would like for that to be their reputation. But the bottom line for me is I don't think you can make negotiating rules that just are true for every negotiation. Because every one of them's different. Nick Bosa won because of the position that he was in. Brandon's not in that position. Did he win? Did the Niners win? That's up for each of you to decide. But it went differently. It did not go the same as Nick's. And Trent's is still sitting there. And Debo's did not go the same as Nick's or Brandon's. And was over, I think, in July, if I'm remembering correctly. I just, like, it's kind of like... Like, any of you have multiple kids, you don't talk to them all the same way. Some of them can take tough love. Some of them can't. Some of them need a hug. Some of them need a kick in the butt. You can't just be like, this is how we're going to do negotiations. I think that's like a weakness if you do that. Right. Sort of opens you up to someone taking advantage of it if they know exactly if you're going to play it the exact same way every time.
And also, I mean, we can point to this experience. We can point to last year with Bosa and as you're laying out, maybe Debo, although there was drama, it did kind of get figured out relatively early. For the most part, though, it has worked. Like almost every single time, like you've been able to sign these guys. Like you go back to the beginning of this regime and the major contracts that they've handed out, and there's a ton of them, and almost all of them are at the time of signing were the richest contracts in that position's history. You go all the way back to Kyle Juszczyk in 2017, the richest deal for a fullback. Garoppolo in 2018, the richest deal for a quarterback. Kittle, same in 2020 for a tight end. Trent Williams in 2021. Kyle Juszczyk again in 2021. Fred Warner in 2021. Debo in 2022. And then Ayuk in 2024. Those were not number one in their position groups, those two wide receivers. But then Bosa last year, number one defender, number one non-quarterback. Like, they have paid top-of-the-line money to every single one of their free agents. Not every single one, but the vast majority of them, year after year after year. It's worked for the most part. It's been frustrating the last couple, but they got it done.
And now we get to do quarterback.
Again.
I mean, it really is sort of what makes you, and I did this with the Rams a few years ago. I remember, and I think it was when they signed Kupp to his extension. If you remember what was going on, they had done Stafford. They had done Aaron Donald. They had done Jalen Ramsey. There were a number of guys. and they kept giving up all their draft picks. And as an NFL fan, you're sitting here going, especially if you're a fan of a different team, not the Niners at that time, but if you're a fan of, let's say, the Carolina Panthers, and you're like, why are we sitting here with cap problems? And then there are teams over there who seemingly, whenever they need a bag, they're there with it. Do you ever just shrug your shoulders and throw your hands up about the cap? Look at the Niners' contracts. How the hell does that work?
That's a great question.
How? Line them up. It's a capped league, and over here are the Niners with, like, the top paid guy at every position. It's and I get it. Your first answer is going to be, well, they're not paying their QB.
But
they're about to.
And those contracts that they signed, like Kittle in 2020, no longer the highest paid tight end.
Right.
Trent Williams, of course, as we know now, it's why it's a problem, no longer the highest paid left tackle.
Fred Warner.
Juszczyk, he still might be the highest paid fullback. I don't know.
No, he took a pay cut this offseason, remember?
He still might be the highest paid fullback.
Well, there's only like four fullbacks. But
Patrick Ricard of the Dolphins is the only other one out there. Deebo, obviously, nowhere near where he was when he signed. So that's the natural way these things go. I mean, Mahomes is what, now the 12th highest paid quarterback
Mahomes
or whatever
and
it is?
Neither of them are in the top 10.
But you still have to fit it in year after year after year. And it's not like because they're no longer the highest paid at those positions doesn't mean they're cheap by any stretch of the imagination. They're still taking up the vast majority of your cap, which is what makes the early returns on this draft class so important because
Huge.
You have all these bloated guys.
That's a great point.
They're deserving of it, no doubt. You're not saying that you'd rather not have them, but to be able to support all of that, even if you are a cap schmap believer, to be able to support that, you have to have young talent, and it seems like for the first time in a while, there's a group of them coming in together.
Yes, I know. I think that's a great point, and it's also, it speaks to when those of you who want to call in and be like, oh, you never criticize the Niners, listen to that. So I know it became popular over the last few weeks to be like, this Parag guy, what about this Parag guy? You don't want to give him any credit? Look how many players have been paid. Like, that's the kind of thing. Are they the top paid guy? Maybe not. But who's gotten bags on this team? Nick, Fred, Hargrave, to a degree, Charvarius Ward. Then you go to the offensive side. Trent and George and McCaffrey. And now both of your receivers, Deebo and Brandon, and Brock's about to get it. And somehow, they're all still here. I mean, come on. Come on. If you're a fan, just that aspect of doing business, you've got to love. That's why I'm saying I'm starting to get ready to put Niner ownership in the same sentence as Warrior ownership. Man, they put it all on the line every year. They do it. And that's a great thing. Redwood Dave, Redwood City. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So glad that Brandon Ayuk finally signed his contract. I wish he would have handled it a little bit better. He should have come into practice and practiced, right? I don't begrudge him holding out and not signing, trying to get everything he needed to get, right? Because that's just business. But I think maybe that press conference yesterday had something to do with him actually signing today, right? That was like some shade thrown on him and not putting him in a good light. And as the other situation with Brock Purdy for next year, I disagree with you that we have to go all in when you have a cheap quarterback, because we're not going to be in this situation again for a long time. Hopefully. And
wait, Dave, can you reiterate? Whoa, Dave, can you reiterate what quote you're tagging on me? I want to hear that point again. You disagree with what point that I made?
Your point is that you want to be good all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I agree you need to be good all the time, but there's only a small portion when you're able to have a cheap quarterback and then spend the money elsewhere, right? Next year is going to be a completely different situation because we have to pay Brock Purdy. Somebody's going to have to leave. Somebody may have to get franchised, and
this is the last best year we have to win a Super Bowl with the team we currently have.
Yeah, so and that's fine that you disagree with me, Dave. I totally hear you. And we do see that a little differently, which is fine. I don't think you're leaving a Super Bowl window when you have a 24, 25-year-old quarterback who's really good. I think your window is open for a long, long time. So I'm not down on where the 49ers are going next. I don't think. And by the way, next year is not the ultimate year with Brock Purdy. He signs the extension, but it doesn't kick in until the year after that. So maybe there is still wiggle room next year. I'd also just argue real quick, if you feel like your window, I've said this before, if you feel like your window closes when you sign your quarterback, don't sign your quarterback. That means you don't believe in him. If you believe in him, then hell, you got a good quarterback and you should be a good football team every year. Chris in Modesto is going to be our last one tonight. Thank you so much for all of the interaction on one hell of a day, the day we've all been waiting for. Brandon Ayuk has signed. Chris in Modesto, hey man, go ahead. What's up?
You know what? This just emphasizes how much I feel it's important to be a fan of the team more than a fan of the player. And I care. I love Ayuk. I think he's a great receiver. I want him on my team. But I've been a Niner fan since I was a kid. I'm a couple years younger than you, Mark. And I feel that that love for the team, for the Niners, that's not just the team, the 49ers. And I appreciate what they've done. It sounds like they knew what they wanted from day one, you know, that they didn't budge, regardless of what his agent said. And I just think that they know what's coming ahead with, you know, with Brock Purdy's contract. And if that's what they were already comfortable with, then that just goes to show that they are ahead of the game. And I think that I called a couple weeks ago. I said, Ayuk doesn't have anything to lose. He's just, you know, he's kind of like playing a poker game. He's gambling. He's going to see what he can get. But he knew, hey, these guys mean business. And I'm going to do what I can up to the last minute, and I'm going to go ahead and fold when I know that there's no more room for me.
Yeah, Chris, thank you very much. I think all of that is pretty fair. And I don't think everybody has to love the process that was picked by either Brandon Ayuk, his agent, or the 49ers. But yeah, do I trust them more often than not because of the way they've performed? Sure do. Sure do. All right. There's going to be much more to talk about on this throughout the evening, throughout tomorrow as well. Grandy's coming up next with Best Of. Until then, shoot your shot. That's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.